Psalm 15, verse 5. Psalm 15, verse 5. Not the passage we're preaching from today, but it's our springboard today. Psalm 15, verse 5 says this: whoever does these things. Now, you're not going to find out what these things are because that's not what we're preaching on this morning. It's a whole other message. So you have to look it up later. But whoever does these things will never be shaken. Can you say that with me? Will never be shaken. So what that means, again, you can look up these things later, but the point is this morning that it is possible to live an unshakable life. Scripture tells us it is possible to live an unshakable life. The goal is not to live in a storm-free world, as wonderful as that would be, right? The goal is not to live in a storm-free world, but to live in such a way that no matter how wild the storms get, our lives are immovable. Will never be shaken. So the difference between a shaken life and an unshakable life is our foundation. What is our life built upon? We have a family in our church who has taken on a very interesting and challenging project this summer. And I would like to have Rob and Tina come on up and join me on the platform. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Welcome, guys. I need another microphone. Use the blue one and the white one. Sound, guys? All right. Rob, here you, somebody. There we go. Yeah. So, you guys, I've got some pictures. Got some pictures. Oh, that's not good. That's really not good. I don't know if I can launch that. Oh, I can. Okay, start from the beginning. There we go. So, beginning of the summer, you guys lifted your house right off the ground and put some stuff under it. Yeah, well, you didn't, but some contractors did. And we've got a picture of some supervisors there. And then it wasn't high enough, so you had to lift it up higher and put it even higher up in the air. Probably a little nervous about that. Yeah?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially when one of the blocks started to move.
Oh, yeah?
The front block there is tipped a little.
Here? Bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that would be nerve-wracking.
Scary moment.
Yeah. All your stuff was still in the house, yeah. So yeah, a little nerve-wracking. And I don't remember putting that. So new foundation. That's what this picture is about. New foundation was poured under it and cured and all that. And then it was set down on the foundation, nice and solid. So yeah, that was quite an experience.
And landscape by Mike.
And landscape by Mike. Good job, Mike. You did good.
And Tony.
Yeah. So what was wrong with your foundation? What was going on that you had to go to the drastic, steps of doing something like this?
Well, a couple of things that were wrong. It had major cracks in it. Mm-hmm. It was very damp, It was originally put in 100 years ago by people that did the best that they could.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It was very wet, so yeah. There's some pump run like all winter. You couldn't stand up straight. You had to watch the pipes. And
yeah.
Denis was very careful when he went down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he has a few scars.
Yeah, so for the future viability of your home, you can't have a foundation with cracks in it and stuff. And
yes, we felt if we were going to renovate the rest of the house, there was no point in renovating the house without making sure we had a solid foundation.
Yeah, yeah. I said to these guys, watching this happen this summer has been watching a slow-moving sermon illustration happen throughout the summer. So I had to get them up here and talk about this, right? But yeah, there's no point in renovating the rest if your foundation is not solid, right? It's powerful. So what have you learned in this process about why foundations break? Like how does that happen?
Well, there are a few things. Firstly, it wasn't probably built the way it should have been built to mm-hmm. begin with.
Okay.
We had some problems with trees being too close that caused cracks because the roots push against it, forces from outside push against it, and if the foundation's weak to begin with, they'll find a crack, and once that crack starts, the wall begins to weaken.
Wow. So many parallels here, aren't there? Wow. Yeah. Okay. Maybe we talked about this already. Why was it worth going through all the trouble to raise the house to do this, right? That's huge.
Yeah. Well, I think, like Rob said, we wanted to renovate the rest of the house, windows, siding, kind of a new addition on the back. And
mm-hmm.
There was no point doing that if we weren't solid,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Good, yeah. So, probably pretty nervous about the whole process, right? Picking the house up and all your stuff inside and the piano and everything.
Yeah. I was thinking of that earlier, like all our earthly possessions are in that house.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I remember taking things that I said to Rob, my wedding ring and my diamond, I'm bringing those to the trailer because I don't wear them at work, so
yeah.
Often I leave them in the house, right? But they didn't stay in the house because Tina yeah. had visions of it toppling over.
Yeah. Yeah. Fortunately, those visions didn't, were not prophetic. Yeah. But yeah, pretty scary.
There's a couple of things we learned.
Yeah.
Nothing goes according to exact plan.
For sure.
You can plan what you want, make all the best preparations, but you have to be prepared for things to be a lot more stressful than you thought they would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, yeah.
And
take a lot longer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's... Yeah. 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 So what difference is the new foundation going to make on the integrity? I mean, I know you wanted to do it to, you know, because you were doing other renovations, but as far as the integrity of your stability of your home, what difference do you think that will make in the long term?
Well, I mean, right now we don't have to worry about the rest of our house crumbling because the foundation is settling or a wall is cracking or
yeah.
there's dampness in the basement rising or whatever.
Yeah.
If we have a dry and firm foundation,
yeah.
The integrity of the rest of the house should hold.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen some changes already, like our floors are a little bit straighter.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and that's because of the foundation underneath.
Sure. Good. So what's the biggest lesson, just life lesson, not construction lesson, but the biggest life lesson that stands out for each of you through this process?
Well, I think I can quickly say trust.
Yeah.
I think Mike was going to send me home many days. It's going to be okay. It's going to look okay. And it does. It looks wonderful, Mike. And like Rob said, things don't go according to plan, so you just have to kind of trust those situations or those people that are in those situations that, yes, you're the expert. I'm a nurse. I'm not a contractor. I'm not a builder. Yeah. I'm not the plumber, right? So I think it's just to be in that situation and trust and know that things are going to work out.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing I've learned is I have to be more patient with the process because it takes longer than you're expecting or planned.
Yeah.
It doesn't go the way that you planned.
Yeah.
Things don't happen the way you expect them to happen.
Sure.
So you have to develop patience in that area, I
guess. Yeah, yeah. Good. All right. Well, thank you for sharing, guys. Let's give them a hand. Very good. I'm sure you guys were, the day that the house was set on the foundation was probably a really good day. It's all done.
It's so exciting. Did you watch it come down? No.
Yeah. Don't want to see it. That's funny. Good. Well, thank you. So I want to read from Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. We're probably most of us used to hearing this passage from Matthew as part of the Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew chapter 7. But I wanted to read Luke's version here this morning. Luke 6, verses 40, starting in verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Said Jesus. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So Jesus starts this passage by saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Jesus isn't Lord because we call him Lord. He's Lord because we obey him. Right? We can have religious language that talks about our Lord, talks about the Lord, talks about, here people use, it grates on me, but that's my issue, I guess. You know, the good Lord, it just sounds disrespectful somehow, I don't know. But you know, we use this language about the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, the Lord is good. You know, it's those things are easy to say, but is he our Lord? He's not our Lord because we call him Lord, because we use religious language, but he's Lord if he's actually our King, if we actually obey him. It does us no good to tack Jesus onto our life as an accessory. We cannot claim the blessings, rewards, or benefits of the kingdom of God if Jesus is not our King. Isaiah 29, verse 13 says, God said through Isaiah, The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they've been taught. I'll say that again. These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. So, whether you're here in the room or you're joining us online today, I want to say I love that you're here. I love that you're here. There is no better place to be on a Sunday morning than joining with God's people in worship to celebrate God's goodness, right? And even if you're not sure about this whole Jesus thing, I'm glad you're here. It is good to put yourself in a place where God can do something in your life and speak to your life. But at the same time, if we think that doing God a favor by coming to church is gaining some kind of brownie points for us or fire insurance for us, I have to tell you that it doesn't work that way. Jesus was saying, you can't just name drop Jesus when you stand before the judgment seat of God and say, oh yeah, Jesus, I sang songs to him and went to his church, so I'm good. It's just not how it works. To claim the name of Jesus, we actually have to live for him. And so why not start today? Right? If you've been just along for the ride before now, today is the day to take the step of making Jesus Lord of your life and following him. So Jesus, in this passage, gives us a recipe for a solid foundation in our lives. How many would love to be unshakable, immovable, right? Have a life that the storms of this world cannot shake, cannot move, cannot touch, right? We want that. So Jesus said, he said, as for everyone who comes to me, and hears my words and puts them into practice, then our lives will be unshakable when the storms come. So first of all, to be someone who comes to him. So the question is, who do we turn to? Who is it, what is it that we turn to find comfort and hope in moments when we need it? We often, as humans, including those of us who love Jesus, who follow Jesus, we can often find ourselves turning to some other idol instead of Jesus in those moments at times. Another way to think about an idol in our lives to think about it like a functional savior. Functional savior. Works like this. If loneliness is our idea of hell in this life, then what is it that we are turning to find to be saved out of our hell? If we're turning to a man or a woman to save us from the hell of loneliness, then that man or woman is our rescuer and our savior and an idol. If feeling the pain of a memory or an issue in our lives is our idea of hell, then whatever numbs that pain is our functional savior. Alcohol, drugs, food, adrenaline. We have all kinds of idols that we at times turn to. Social media, drama in our social settings, gossip, retail therapy, controlling other people, feeling powerful. But Jesus invited us to come to Him. For those who come to me. We will only find true comfort, true healing, the true meeting of our needs in Jesus, not in any other false savior. If we try to fill the holes and the hurts in our lives with anything or anyone else, we will find ourselves continually craving things that will never truly fix us or fulfill us. Some of us came to Jesus at one time, but as life has piled on the struggles and the pain and the difficulty, we have fallen back to going to other places to soothe our pain and find our comfort. We have cracks in our foundation that if we don't take care of them, will grow and weaken our stability. The picture that Rob gave us of, you know, how does that happen? Well, first of all, foundation maybe wasn't built the best, right? Have we built a good foundation to begin with? And then the roots and the moisture and the things that come from the outside that press in. If we haven't built our foundation well, those outside things press in and cause cracks and cause erosion of our foundation. Before we know it, the support of our house, our life, has eroded. And, you know, we may wonder, where did Jesus go? I used to feel so close to Him. Where did He go? Guaranteed He didn't go anywhere, right? But that we left slowly, one small choice at a time. One opportunity of trusting in someone or something else at a time and allowing that foundation to erode. But Jesus said, for those of you who come to me, those of you who come to me and hear my words, He said. Secondly, you know, Jesus doesn't just want to give us warm feelings. He actually has given us instructions for our lives. That's what lords do, right? I mean, I know that it's nice to think of my buddy Jesus, who he's my best friend and he takes care of me and, you know, buys me ice cream once in a while. But Jesus, yes, He is a friend that sticks closer to than a brother. He's also our Lord. He's also given us instructions for our lives. Jesus said, for those who come to me and hear my words. Jesus is your creator and your redeemer. He knows how you were made and why you were made and for what purpose you were made. He knows why He stepped into your life when He did and rescued you out of darkness and brought you into light. He knows the plans and the purposes that He has for your life. He knows you like no one else does. And He knows what was meant to work in our lives and what doesn't work. Right? So if we want a life that is unshakable and built on the right things, then maybe when we need wisdom, we don't go first to Facebook or to the gang at the coffee shop or to Dr. Phil or The View or Kelly Clarkson or whoever we watch on TV. But we go to the scriptures that God gave us. They are the user manual of our lives. Whoever comes to me and hears my words. So what are some ways that we can hear Jesus' words to us more clearly? Well, we need to read the scriptures regularly because his words are found here, aren't they? His words are found here. We need to spend time in the scriptures. If you have a paper Bible, and I hope you do. I encourage you to get a paper Bible. I know we'll talk about apps in a moment, but it's good to have something that you actually touch and engage with. And I would encourage you, if you have a paper Bible, don't treat it like, you know, something that you have to, you know, just put on a shelf and make sure, take care of. Like, write in it. Underline things, circle things, write in the margins. Engage with the scriptures. You've probably heard it said, those who have Bibles that are falling apart often don't have lives that are, right? But engage with the scriptures. Get a Bible app and find devotionals that keep you, reading plans and devotionals that keep you engaging with scripture. Journal. Maybe some of you do that already. Some of you never thought about it, but I want to encourage you to journal. Write what you believe God is saying to you as you read scripture and pray. And that way you have a record of it so you can test it. We're told to test prophetic words. Test the words that we hear. Write them down so we can test them and weigh them. And most importantly, not forget them. But hear what God is saying to us. Consider taking notes in church. Not because my words are particularly important, but his word is. And once in a while, the pastor might actually say something under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that will encourage you and speak into your life. And if we don't write it down, you probably have forgotten it by the time you get to your car. Right? So take notes so that we can engage with it and soak it in. Jesus, what are you saying to me? I want to encourage you to access the Right Now Media app that we've made available to you. There are Bible studies on just about, there are thousands of videos on there with all kinds of Bible studies on just about any topic you can imagine that will help you engage with the scriptures and what they say to our life, our lives, and our life situations. Be sure, lastly, under this point, be sure to leave time in your quiet times with Jesus to just be still and quiet and listen. You may not hear something from the Lord every time, but we never will if we don't take time to be still and listen. Those who come to me, who hear my words and put them into practice. If we come to Jesus and hear his words, and then just go out and do our own thing anyways, we might as well not have even bothered coming to him, right? James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You know, hearing preaching or reading the scriptures, we can actually be deceived by that practice? That's what this passage says. We can be deceived by just hearing, thinking that we've done something life-changing and important by listening. But if we don't activate his words in our lives, then we are basically saying that they're nice to listen to, but not meaningful to live. Right? So James says, don't be a hearer only and so deceive ourselves, but do what it says. It's in activating the words of Jesus by walking in obedience that we actually draw on their power in our lives. We can have a great looking life while our foundation is rotten and crumbling beneath us. And I want to invite us today to be foundation inspectors in our lives. Are there areas where my foundation has cracks? Where it has weak points? Where I've trusted it when I've gone to someone other than Jesus for help, comfort, and wisdom? It's left me vulnerable. Let's stand. Worship team, come on up. I want us to respond in song, sing a song as a prayer this morning. Praise you, Lord. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Yes. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Your heart.
heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
So Lord, we thank you today. Your love, your faithfulness, God, in our lives. We want our lives to be built upon you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in us. I echo the words of David who said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in your way everlasting." May you examine our foundation today. If we are not truly and fully leaning upon you and built upon you, that you would show us in our lives the cracks in our foundation, that we would repent, that we would deal with those, that we would turn to you in each one of those situations. We would rebuild our foundation. You alone would be the one on whom we rest, the one on whom we trust. That our lives would truly be unmovable and unshakable. We thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness, that you promise to be with us through every storm and every season. We thank you in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Amen. If you, as you go today, if you would like to receive prayer, there's things going on in your life where you just want to lean in and have the Lord touch something in your life, we'd love to pray with you. God bless you, and have a great week. We'll see you on launch Sunday next Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you.